You know, the magical world of Disney is really magical.
Why do you think they call it the magical world of Disney?
Well, they call it the magical world of Disney because it only shows the greatest Disney films for the entire family. You know, like The Rescuers Down Under, The Lion King, Pollyanna.
What would you do if I told you that this family is going to subscribe to the Disney Channel so every Sunday evening we can watch The Magical World of Disney?
Well, I do all my homework. I'd make my bed every day and I'd let you guys live with me when you're older.
Bam. Bam.
Hello and welcome to episode 8 of the Man Meets World podcast. I am your host, Brandon, the man that is meeting the world. And today we will be looking at season 1, episode 8 of Boy Meets World, an episode titled Teacher's Bet. A very appropriate episode for this month because the school year has just begun. I myself am a teacher. I have returned to school with the children, and I am slowly remembering how to do my job. But before we get into what I like to call the meat and potatoes of the episode, I do have a iTunes review to read for you. I actually thought, this is totally my mistake, I thought I read this a long time ago. It was posted on July 7th by my good buddy, at Fanslum on Twitter, and he called me out and said, dude, you never read my review on air. What up with that? So I'm going to make up for right now. He says, most excellent, 5 out of 5 stars. He writes, as a fellow 31-year-old man living in a post-Boy Meets World world, I cannot recommend this podcast more emphatically to anyone, even remotely interested in the subject matter. If you know what a fanny call is, or who Mala freaking Sokoloff is, then sit right down and relive the magic of your youth through this gentleman's pedantic escapades. Very nice words, at Fanslum. Thank you very much. If you are interested in leaving a iTunes review, please do so. It is a huge help to the podcast, and I love me some 5 out of 5 star reviews, but I will settle for a 4 star review if you want to be a meanie and do that. But I will read any review on air, even if it is a bad review. At JeremyPape93, I'm looking at you, bud. Even if it's a bad review, I will read it on air. I will cry a little bit if it is bad, but hey, you do what you got to do. So please go to iTunes, subscribe to Man Meets World, and leave a review. Did I mention you should leave a review on iTunes? Oh, I did? Okay, cool. Moving on. So speaking of my good friend at Fanslum, he has been mentioned a lot the last couple episodes because he has been working very hard for the podcast in helping to promote the Boy Meets World trivia. And he's really been campaigning on Twitter for it, trying to get people engaged. And I said last time in episode 7, due to his hard work, I would reward him with a song. So his song is coming up at the end of this episode. But I also have to mention another man, a Mr. Jordan David, who is at SickPuppies92 on Twitter. He has come along, and he not only correctly answered the trivia question, the original trivia question everybody struggled with, but he also has correctly answered the trivia question I asked last time in episode 7. So the question was, what baseball player's rookie card did Corey receive from his grandmother? The answer is,
and Sunday, kiddo, you and I, we are going to go get this baseball card signed by the guy in the picture.
Cal Ripken?
The answer was Cal Ripken Jr. I gave you the hint of Baltimore because he played for the Baltimore Orioles. So that was the correct answer. Thank you, Jordan, for one, attempting to answer, and two, answering correctly. And because of your correct answers, and also because you have been another person, along with @Fanslim, who has done great promotion for the podcast, I'm also including you in the song at the end of this episode. Jordan David's a very dedicated Man Meets World fan. He actually created a fan Instagram page for the show, so I'm very flattered. If anybody else is out there who is interested in getting involved in the podcast in any way, shape, or form, please let me know. You can hit me up on Twitter at MMWPod. That is at MMWPOD. Now, very last thing before I jump into the episode, Season 1, Episode 8, to be exact, I do have to make an announcement. I made it on Twitter. Man Meets World, from at least for the foreseeable future, will be once a month. I was hoping I could do two a month every other week, which is what my initial promise was. But I'm realizing, even though I'm done with grad school now, between work and being married and having other interests as well, other podcasts and other things I like to do, I'm going to limit my work on Man Meets World to once a month. That'll also be an easier schedule for my producer and editor at @Mikey_C on Twitter to follow. But you can expect a brand new Man Meets World every single month on fans.experts.com, Stitcher, YouTube, iTunes. You know the drill by now. And I'll mention all again at the end of this episode. So right now, let us jump into Season 1, Episode 8, Teacher's Bet. This episode originally aired on November 19th, 1993.
Hey, Corey, brought you a great article on Barry Bonds.
The $43 million man.
Why did they call him that?
Because that's what he's getting paid to play baseball for 6 years.
$7.16 million a year?
That's what it comes out to, yeah.
He happens to be one of the top guys in baseball.
Well, I happen to think Mr. Feeney is one of the top guys in teaching, and he makes about $40,000
a year. That stinks.
Finally, something we agree on.
Yeah.
Feeney ain't worth that kind of money.
You thought I meant he was overpaid? I meant that Mr. Feeney is grossly and tragically underpaid.
Minkus, may I call you Minkus? Does spelling ever change? No. Does history ever change? Uh-uh. Does Feeney ever change? Never. Know why? He doesn't have to. Know why? Because nothing about teaching sixth grade ever changes.
Well, I think you're wrong.
Well, I think I'm right. I think in about 5 seconds, Feeney walks in here, takes a sip from the drinking fountain, flicks his mustache, goes to the coffee machine, sees me, and says, "Good morning, Mr. Matthews. I trust you've done the homework." Every day, the same thing. He's so predictable.
Good morning, Mr. Matthews. I trust you've done the homework.
Yes, I did, sir.
But my little sister ate it. You are so predictable.
So that opening scene that you just heard took place in the cafeteria, and it really sets the stage for the rest of the episode. Corey truly believes that any... Ew! That was a legitimate burp, and it sounds like I just vomited out Satan. My brain is telling me to edit that out, but my heart is telling me to leave it, because F it. F it, I said. And speaking of effing... Topanga Lawrence is back! You see, because in the next scene, we're in the classroom, and Feeney's talking something about prejudice, but I'm so distracted because Topanga freaking Lawrence is back. Danielle Fishel, she makes me sing. She does things inside of me that makes me confused. confused. Oh, so confused. I forgot that I was recording. Did I just say all that out loud? Mike, I need you to do me a favor. Go back to where I burp and just edit out the whole, like, last minute. Please. I can never let that burp in the song be released to the public. That would be too embarrassing. So, Mike, if you're listening, and I have my doubts that you actually listen to these shows, please edit out, like, the last, like, minute, 30 seconds, minute, like, 2 minutes. Thank you. So where was I? So we're in the classroom, and Feeny is talking about prejudice, and he gives out a book, and he instructs the class to read the first 30 pages for his homework. And Corey is really dreading reading this book, and he's just making humorous comments to the point where Feeny asks him to stay after class. And they have this conversation where Corey's like, your job is really easy. And Feeny's like, well, I always thought you had the easy job. And Corey's like, I have to do homework. I have to listen to you for 30 hours a week. I have to do this, I have to do that. And I only make $5 a week. You probably make that in like an hour. And Feeny's like, yeah, that is why I can afford that Ferrari you see in my driveway. And Corey, not catching on, goes, you don't drive a Ferrari. If he's like, oh, right, it's a gremlin. Yes, us teachers are underpaid. We get no respect. No damn respect. But Feeny wants to give Corey a chance to prove his theory that he does have an easy job and that anybody can do it. So he suggests that they do an experiment where they switch places until the end of the week. Corey will be in charge of teaching his social studies class, so one of his five classes, and Feeny will be a student in that class. At the end of the week on Friday, Corey has to give a test that Feeny designs, and if more people pass the test than usual, Corey wins. But if more people fail the test than usual, Feeny wins. And to add to the bet, Feeny says, since you're teaching one of my five classes, if you win, I will give you 1/5 of my paycheck from this week. And if you lose, I get your brand new bike. Now, if this was real life, administration would never let this happen. Yes, you want to give kids the opportunity to interact with their peers and maybe even give them a leadership role where they can teach, but administration would go crazy if they were actually teaching a full class for an entire week. Never mind parents. Do you know how pissed off parents would be if they found out from their son or daughter that a child was in charge of their social studies class and that they'd be testing the material that this kid was teaching? It would be a disaster. It would never happen. But you know what? Gosh darn it. It makes for great television. So, in the next scene, we are at the Matthews house, and Amy and Morgan are on the sofa. Eric walks in, and he has a brand new girlfriend named Linda. Now, Linda is a very pretty girl. I looked her up on IMDb.com. She was played by an actress named Lindsay Price. If you're wondering, she is still very attractive. She has appeared in a lot of things, in bit parts, since Boy Meets World. She has appeared in The Bold and the Beautiful. She appeared in an episode of Frasier. She appeared in Beverly Hills 90210. She appeared in an episode of CSI. She appeared in the show Coupling. Becker. She appeared in Las Vegas, NCIS, Lipstick Jungle, whatever that is. It sounds familiar, I think, because, you know, my cousin Mike, my producer editor, he watches those type of shows. Not me. CSI New York, 2.5 Men, Blackish, Castle. The last thing she was in looks like Mary and Jane, a TV series. I have honestly have no clue what that is. I'm not sure if that is a show that has even been on air yet. But so she's done a lot of TV in bit parts. I think she will look familiar to you if you see her. She has sort of that familiar face, in my opinion. And she's quite a... It's quite a attractive, familiar face, if I do say so myself. So Linda and Morgan, they have a conversation, and the two of them really bond. Morgan breaks things down for Linda about how she's the new girlfriend, and, you know, well, take a listen for yourself.
Hi, I'm the mom. It's nice to meet you.
Hi.
My name's Morgan, and I'm 5 1/2.
Well, my name is Linda, and I'm 15 3/4.
I like her.
You guys want something to eat?
Sure. Could you...
Morgan, honey, I could really, really use your help in the kitchen.
Well, you're just going to have to be more independent, because I want to stay and talk to Linda.
I tried.
So, you think I'm a new girlfriend, do you?
Uh-huh.
Guys, can we talk about, like, anything else?
Are there a lot of old girlfriends?
Billions.
Does anyone else have that real sharp pain behind their eyes? I know I do.
Well, I don't think I'm a new girlfriend. Your brother told me that he just wanted to study with me.
Oh, please. You're gonna fall for that one.
Major snackage is now being served in the main dining room.
Come on, it's getting cold.
It's ice cream.
Come on, it's getting warm.
So Morgan and Linda are now BFFs. Now, right after this, Dad, Alan, and Corey come busting through the door. They were obviously racing. Amy scolds them. And as Alan explains, it's not racing. It's hurrying in a manly fashion. So then Corey tells his parents all about the bet. And Alan is very worried about that bike. He just bought him that bike. He's very afraid that Corey's going to lose his brand new bike. So back at school in the next scene, Corey confirms with Mr. Feeney at the start of class that he's really in charge and he's not going to go back on his word, even if he does things a little bit out of the norm. So Corey tells the class that his name is now, "Hey Dude." That is awesome. I want to do that for my students. Be like, "My name is Hey Dude. You shall call me Mr. Hey Dude." And Corey starts referring to Feeney now as George because he's just one of the students. And the first thing Mr. Hey Dude does is he cancels that pesky rule about no baseball caps. Then Topanga asks about the dress code.
And you guys know that rule about no baseball caps in class? History. Yeah, Topanga.
If we're going to eliminate the cap rule, can we also describe the dress code in its entirety?
Why? You're not thinking about showing up, like, naked tomorrow, are you?
No. Although I find nothing shameful about nudity. I was thinking about wearing garments from cultures more in tune with the goddess. A sari, perhaps. Or a pareo.
Yeah, fine. As long as you're covered up.
Why would you want her to be covered up? It's Danielle Fishel. It's Topanga freaking Lawrence. Ugh. You know what, Topanga? Do not listen to Mr. Hey Dude. You get down with your freak self, girl. You say goodbye to the dress code. You come to my house tomorrow. No dress code. No clothes necessary. All right? That is an open invitation. Danielle Fisher makes me sing, and she does weird things inside of me that make me feel confused. Did I say that out loud again? I mean, Mike, just like, Mike, I'm sorry, you're gonna have to do a lot of editing this episode. If you're still listening, if you're ever listening in the first place, go back and edit out like the last, let's say 30 to 50 seconds of me talking. All right, great, cool, thanks. How embarrassing if that ever gets released to the public. Anyways, So Minkus, being Minkus, he wants to actually learn about social studies. And Corey goes, well, I'll give you the homework so you can do that. But it's the same homework. Read the first 30 pages of the book. So Minkus is upset, and he starts complaining. Corey goes, you know what, Minkus, here's your homework assignment. Get a life. In the next scene, Eric comes home, and Linda got Morgan a present. She got her a lantern. I'm not going to say what type of lantern, because I do not want to give away the answer to Boy Meets World trivia. Boy Meets World trivia. And I'll announce the trivia question at the end of this episode. But she does give her a lantern, and the lantern is a traditional lantern from her home country. All I'm going to say. And in the same scene, Corey is telling Alan about his day. He's like, yeah, it was one big class party. And Alan's like, well, what was Feeny doing during this big class party? And Corey's like, oh, Feeny was learning how to play poker for gum with Sean. And Alan's like, Corey, explain this bet to me again. Because Alan is legitimately worried about Corey losing his bike. And when Corey fills him in about, you know, the test and people passing, Alan's like, well, how does he grade? And Corey's like, what do you mean? He goes, well, how does Feeny grade? Does he grade on a curve? Because if he grades on a curve, I mean, Feeny's going to score really high. He wrote the test. So that means if he scores really high, a lot of people are going to fail. So that means your bike is a goner. So the next day, Corey decides he needs to take things a little bit more seriously. So he begs Sean to help him get the class under control. And Sean's like, lining up, dude. You're sounding too much like a teacher. And Corey starts with attendance. And he calls Topanga. And Topanga says she'll only be answering to this name.
Lawrence Topanga.
I'm channeling. I will only answer to the name.
Okay, present, but not all here.
Topanga, come to my house, and you can go by any name you want. So not only is there, like, whatever dress code you want, you don't even need to wear clothes, remember, but I will call you whatever you want me to call you, even if it's, like, a weird sound, all right? So Daniel Fishel, come on over. Again, open invitation. Daniel Fishel makes me sing. She does weird things inside of me. Makes me feel so confused and good inside. And I'm doing it again. Damn it. Mike, edit, please. Edit out like the last, again. Just, you know what, Mike? I might have to sit down with you. And there's going to be some heavy editing that takes place. Because I cannot, under any circumstances, let all this get released to the public. That'd be too embarrassing. It would ruin my reputation. Anyways. So, Corey's doing the attendance, and he calls George Feeny. He's like, where is Feeny at? Well, George shows up wearing a Phillies jersey. He goes, hey, dude, sorry I'm late. I was chilling with my homies. Classic Feeny. Now, back at home, after school, Corey's reading the book from class, and he's really trying to prepare for the next day. And he tells Alan, he goes, teaching's not as easy as it looks. The kids will not listen to me. And Alan's like, you know, you got to be authoritative. Get respect. Demand the respect. But Corey has no clue how to do that. Alan's like, how does Feeny do it? And Corey's like, I don't know, I never pay attention. So it's at this time that Eric and Linda come in, and Linda is crying. Morgan and Amy come home, and they're like, what happened? Eric tells them that somebody at the mall called Linda a bad name. Corey is shocked by this. I'm not sure why, Corey. You live in Philadelphia. I'm not sure why it is shocking that somebody in Philadelphia would call somebody a bad name. I'm not condoning it. But you live in Philadelphia, Philly, the city that is anything but brotherly love. Anyways, Philly sucks. Anyways, did I say that out loud? Oops. Anyways, Corey shows up to school the next day. He's wearing a suit and tie, so he looks very professional. And he asks Minkus for help. Minkus is like, why should I help you? You were mean to Feeny. You disrespected him. You disrespected his profession. I'm not helping you. Then Feeny comes in. This is one of my favorite all-time Boy Meets World scenes. He comes in wearing a Meatloaf hat and sweatshirt. Meatloaf is in the singer. And I'm not... I mean, Meatloaf had a comeback in the early 90s, but I'm not sure how many sixth graders are wearing Meatloaf stuff. I love it, though. Classic Feeny. Classic Feeny. Meatloaf. 2 out of 3 ain't bad. Remember that, because that might be a preview of something to come. So then Corey starts talking about prejudice to the class. And he opens up about Linda and how she came home crying because somebody called her a bad name. And this catches the attention of George, but the rest of the class is not paying attention. And Corey goes to Feeny, okay, you went. I'm a crummy teacher. I'm resigning. And he starts hitting on the classroom, but then he gets an idea. And I'm going to let Corey do the rest of the talking.
Hey, Sean. Before your mother got married, what was her name again?
Cordini.
Cordini. So that would make you a WAP, right?
What did you call me?
You heard what I called you.
Did you hear what he called me?
I heard what he called you.
But what are you going to do about it?
He's the teacher. What are you going to do about it?
I'm going to knock his head off.
What if you couldn't? What if you couldn't do anything about it?
What?
What if you lived in a country where I could kill you just because of your mom's last name?
Corey, what are you talking about?
A 15-year-old girl is dead. Doesn't anybody care?
Corey.
She was real smart and totally cool. She wrote this book. Her name was Anne Frank. They say she died of typhus, but they killed her because her name was Anne Frank. Anne Frank was a victim of anti-Semitism.
Anti-Semitism.
Thank you, Mr. Feeny. You have to read this book. And you have to pass this test. Not because of me, but because when someone calls someone else a bad name, it's not good that just that one person jumps up. We all have to jump up. In spite of everything, I still believe that people are really good at heart.
Yeah, that was a happy scene. Things getting pretty heavy. Probably the heaviest scene, or definitely one of the heaviest scenes from season one. Yeah. Hard to come back after Anne Frank lecture. But I will try my best because, gosh darn it, I am a professional. So, Corey talks to Mr. Feeny about the verdict. Did he win or not? How many people passed the test? And it turns out, same amount of people passed. So, it's a draw. And Corey gets to keep his bike. And Corey's like, well, you know, I feel like I really did not do a good job. Feeny's like, you did very well. And you knew the material. And your friend, Sean Hunter, he got a whole grade point higher than he normally does. So, in the final scene, Eric comes in and tells Amy that Linda made the cheerleading team. And Amy's like, oh, I was a cheerleader, and shows off one of her old routines. It goes something like, sheep-bop, ba-dee-doo-doo, dee-bop, ba-boo, fee-fa-foo-fum-ba-dee-ba-boo-boo. Very, like, cheesy, very corny, and Eric's like, that stuff's so dated. Cheerleading now is, like, cool, it's cutting edge. So then Linda comes over, and Eric's like, Linda, show my mom what's up. Show her how cheerleading has changed. Do one of your routines. And Linda's like, okay. Sheep-bop-ba-dee-ba-dee-ba-dee-ba-foo. It's the same corny, cheesy routine, and we're able to end on a laugh. So, pretty heavy stuff in parts of the episode. We got Topanga back as well. Not as much Topanga as I like, but a little Topanga is better than no Topanga. Those are words to live by. I will give this episode 5 out of 5 Feenies. Like I said, I love the Meatloaf sweatshirt. Heavy stuff. A good dramatic episode of or scene from Boy Meets World. And we'll see a lot more as we work through the 7 seasons. 5 out of 5 Feenies. Now, it is time for Boy Meets World Trivia. Boy Meets World Trivia. The question this week is, what ethnicity is Linda? So the whole episode is about prejudice. We talk about how we talk about Anne Frank, Linda getting bullied at the mall. Somebody called her a bad name. What is her ethnicity? Now, I'm looking for somebody to answer besides Ad Fanslum and our good friend Jordan David. I know that they're going to try and answer. I know that Jordan David probably knows the answer. But I would love it if somebody else out there in the world listening to Man Meets World answers that trivia question. And I will definitely give you a little treat in episode 9 if you can correctly answer that question. Now, speaking of Fanslum and Jordan David, as I promise, guys, here is your song. It is to the tune of 2 out of 3 Ain't Bad by Mr. Feeney's favorite artist, Meatloaf.
You follow me on Twitter. That is, of course, if you're not writing too much. By the way, where is my novella? In Jordan, we can talk all night too. 'Cause you also follow me on Twitter. You knew the answer to trivia, and you set up an Instagram page for the show. I poured it on and I poured it out. I tried to show you just how much I care, but sometimes words just are not enough. So I put them in this song instead. I said I put these words for you in this song instead. And all I can do is keep on telling you I thank you. I thank you. And one day I might even love you. Now I will not be sad. No, I will not be sad. 'Cause two podcast fans ain't bad. No, I will not be sad. 'Cause two podcast fans ain't bad.
That was horrible. But I did it all for you. So please answer the trivia question this weekend. You might even get a song of your own. Again, I'm looking for somebody besides my buddies Fanslam and Jordan to answer it this week. And I'll give it to you one more time. The Boy Meets World trivia question is, what ethnicity is Linda, Eric's girlfriend, in Season 1, Episode 8 of Boy Meets World? So, with that said, I'm going to call it a day. Please, 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 go to iTunes, subscribe, download, listen, and leave a review. I would love a brand new review, especially a 5-star review, to read on air next time. Please do that. Follow me on Twitter at MMWPod. Again, that is at MMWPOD. Follow my producer and editor, Mike, who has a lot of editing to do. We're going to sit down together and edit the show down because, like I said, a lot of embarrassing moments for me. So you can follow him on Twitter at Mikey_C. Follow our home site, FansDonExperts, at FansDonExperts on Twitter. And with that said, see you next time for Episode 9. Class dismissed. Fans Not Experts.